Well, hello, people. Welcome to our recording of the pre-show of Daily Tech News Show. This is where the secret things happen, Scott.
Oh, all right.
The good secret things, not like the bad secret things you read about in the news.
Yeah. This is not where the sausage is made.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where we eat the sausage and say, wow, that was really good sausage.
There's a new software update.
Oops, sorry.
I thought I was going to say sausage.
Stop, you videos.
There is new sausage update.
That's really what I thought I was going to say. More playing. Stop with the playing. You should put Privacy Badger on your browser, Roger.
Yeah,
I should eat more fiber too. Shut up, Tom.
Yeah, I should eat more vegetables.
What are you talking about? I just ate a 2-3 leaf thing of kale in my kale, frozen strawberry, and water beverage I have.
Kale, frozen strawberry, and water. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah, what you're saying is you'll disappear about halfway through the show. We
don't know. It's surprising. The more green vegetables, I don't actually have that issue. Greasy food gives me that issue.
No, me too. It's all about oily, greasy food for me.
Yesterday's chicken tikka masala kind of gave me that issue.
Yeah, but you know, if it's not greasy, you shouldn't do that. Well, I will say that
I don't know what
if you really want to avoid it, you get the chicken tikka masala pizza.
Chicken tikka masala doesn't always do that to me. Let me be clear. Yesterday, there was something.
Maybe I noticed cream was off. Well, it's the milk. Like sometimes, if people use like heavy cream, like in a sauce or something.
This is a place where we have ordered many, many times, and I've never had an issue. So I'm curious. It's just that you brought up issues.
Yeah, issues.
You eating cruciferous vegetables is something you have to do regularly, or it can cause distress.
Yeah, I went to Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Love their burgers, but I usually don't get their fries because they're an oily mess.
Okay.
And this time I did get the fries, and I regretted that all of Monday.
Oh, I abstained from eating red meat for like almost a month. And I remember eating my first burger after that. It's like, whoa, body didn't adjust to that too well.
I didn't eat meat at all for more than a couple years. Had a steak and it was great. I had no issues.
I don't have issues with steak.
It's one of those things where people's digestive systems are different and different people respond. Eileen can eat all of the red meat all the time and her cholesterol level doesn't even budge.
But that's because cholesterol isn't that one of the...
No. It'll still affect your cholesterol level. It's not, it's just that cholesterol level isn't necessarily as tied to the heart disease as we thought.
Well, you need cholesterol for brain development.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like her blood tests, when she eats all this red meat, show a low amount of cholesterol. I go in, I eat almost the same diet. In fact, I eat less red meat than her. And she's like, oh, you eat a lot of red meat, huh? And I'm like, man, what is it? But it's people's digest. My point here is that people's digestive systems are different.
Mm-hmm.
Life is incredibly unfair.
No, that is not my point at all. Stop trying to make my point for me.
Oh, how can you eat so many ice cream sundaes, burgers, and fries and still like have the waist of size of like a high school athlete?
I don't eat any ice cream sundaes ever.
I want an ice cream sundae.
You're the one who eats all the whatchamacallits.
No, see, that's the thing. I don't eat them. I just have them on my desk. Actually, I had to.
You're like the Dean Martin of whatchamacallits. Everyone thinks you partake, but it's all just for show.
No, I had to put them away because Ellie saw them and she knows what they are now.
Oh, no.
Because Bill ate one. It's like, uh-huh. It's like, no. So, although I did indulge and I bought one. You know Kern's? They make those juices, like guava juice.
Yeah. I used to drink those because I thought they were great, and then I found out they're so full of sugar.
I bought their horchata one. And Is it good? Yeah.
But it's so full of sugar.
It's 24 grams of sugar. It's less than soda.
It's less than soda, but that ain't saying much.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm taking my breaks where I can get them.
It's less than eating a spoonful of 25 grams of sugar, too.
Well, that's right. That's right.
I don't buy juice anymore. Unless it's 100%, no sweetener added. And even then, just for like when I have a cold, I buy orange juice. So I try to eat fresh fruit only.
I can't even drink orange juice anymore. It's too sweet.
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
I the one thing I do get is cranberry cherry juice because of my gout.
Is that but even then? Does that have sweetener added though? That sounds like it might be.
No, that's
yeah, that's just juice.
I don't buy the cocktail. I buy just the juice.
Yeah. The problems with that's fine, except you're not getting the fiber you would get if you ate the actual fruit.
Well,
but you're taking it medicinally, literally. So.
So yeah, and I cut it with water, and if I need fruit, I eat an apple a day.
I buy peaches and oranges and plums. And
does it keep the doctor away?
Yeah, it kind of does. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, you throw them hard enough, it keeps anyone away.
My doctor's like, stop it, Tom. I'm trying to examine you. And I'm just chucking apples at her. Apples. Why She's like, Tom, we've talked about this. I'm going to charge you for a missed appointment if you don't stop chucking apples at me.
Yeah, please. $25 on your account.
I love fruit. It's just, it's hard to find.
Ellie needs no fruit. All she wants to eat is red meat. And then she goes to the doctor and she's low on iron. How is that even possible? I don't know why I'm getting so
upset. Does she drink a lot of coffee?
Not a lot.
Because
not too much more than I do. If any more.
Well, you come from different stock.
He did. It's true. It's true. I'm like almost entirely made up of Northern European DNA, and she's not. She has almost no Northern European DNA. Well,
so the big thing for us Asian Pacific Islander grouping people is the gout and the diabetes.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't take as much to get diabetes. Mm. Than if you were a white guy or gal
in general. And it's not true of every single person, of course.
Yeah.
Wilford That's Brimley, an example, not Asian,
which is ironic because he used to flog Quaker oatmeal that had a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah, he did do that, didn't he? It's what he used to say.
It's the right thing to do and the right way to do it.
Tasty way to do it or whatever it was. Yeah.
It's hard to buy anything that isn't adulterated. Like, oh, you should eat dried fruits and seeds in your muesli. Make it yourself, and then you go to buy the dried fruits, and they're all covered with corn sweetener, and the seeds are all like soaked in vegetable oil.
Thanks for your time.
Exactly how I feel right then.
That was him. I thought it was diabetes, but it didn't.
See if I'm not.
Wait.
You'll feel
better. No.
I promise you. And I do feel better.
And he does. He did. I like Wilford.
Diabetes.
There it is.
Diabetes.
It's funny. I actually like the guy.
Me too.
Oh, he's great. But,
he's like a mother to you.
He was kind of weird. He was like a rounder, less pugnacious version of Teddy Roosevelt, and he wasn't a politician.
And he never went to Panama.
Yeah. I've seen his ranch. He has a ranch in Hurricane, Utah, just outside of...
A man, a plan.
Big, Panama. Beautiful ranch.
Huge truck.
This is the Wilford Buffalo. Has the same bushy mustache.
He was also good, had no mustache, but was good in The Thing. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the remake, the John Carpenter?
No, old one.
Oh, hey. Oh,
the old one.
So after you get back from your amazing anniversary trip, congratulations. Yeah. 25-year anniversaries. Scott Johnson, ladies and gentlemen.
Woohoo!
We got to watch The Godfather.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's on my list of things to do as soon as I get back.
We guys are telling current geek people about that, too.
Yes, indeed. I'm excited about
You've never seen the movie, right? Nope. Is that the thing?
No, Tom has, I'm sure. Right, Tom?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
More than once.
I have not yet, but I will.
But on Current Geek, every so often, Scott and I are going to watch the greatest movies of all time and discuss them from a geeky perspective.
Yeah.
As special episodes.
A new idea.
Have you seen Patton?
Current Geek sure Film Festival.
Never seen Patton. Patton would also be a good one for me.
You should do all the manly movies I missed and see how, like, if you watched it, would your life have changed direction? Like, I'm going to be a cowboy.
Well, in some cases, like, I finally saw Apocalypse Now, but I would have been, like, 2 years old when that came out.
Man, that movie was weird the first time I watched it. And this is the thing. I didn't watch that movie until much, much later. And so I watched it around the time that Jacob's Ladder came out. And so I thought just, like, the whole experience was one giant acid trip. And it's like, oh, I don't know.
You're Jacob's Ladder.
We are going to watch the top movies of all time as created by averaging the rankings from Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, and the AFI Top 100 Films. Yep. Godfather is the first, followed by Casablanca, Citizen Kane, Psycho, Sunset Boulevard, and, of course, the list goes on.
I've only seen, of all those you mentioned, this is why this is so embarrassing and why I really want to do this. I've only seen Psycho in that list.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah. Never seen Citizen Kane.
I can almost recite Casablanca. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah. That's your favorite movie and I've never even seen it. So. Yeah.
Oh, this will be great. That one will be fun. I mean, all of these will be fun.
Yeah. I was a kid who thought if it wasn't in the 80s, it wasn't a movie for me. And I'm different now. I would really like to see things I missed, you know?
I'm sort of the same way, except that it's not the entire decade I don't like. It's just genres. For example, out of the 70s, I kind of like the horror movie genres that came out in that period of time. In the 60s, I liked the kind of Cold War-ish scare. So it could be like a kind of a realistic movie. It could be something like...
Manchurian Candidate. That's
Manchurian Candidate or something like The Red Planet or, you know, something, you know, of that feeling. So generally, I like zeitgeist movies that kind of evoke the popular sentiment of that time.
Oh, you're going to love the next 10 years then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to get some zeitgeist movies. I can guarantee it.
There's a lot of geist to Zeit.
Hello, my name is Zeit, and this is my co-host,
all
Geist.
Right. It's 1:30, shall we?
Yes.
All this right. Did you give me control? I need control. Podcast. I need control.
Oh, yeah. Now you're not talking about movies anymore.
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
There you go. You have control, sir. All right. Sassy here we go. three, two, one.
Quality content thrives through the support of those who benefit from its creation. If you gain value from the Daily Tech News Show, consider joining others like me who provide support. Learn how to help at dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt with Scott Johnson here to be your color commentary to the play-by-play of technology news as it parades in front of you each day.
I wish I could just circle stuff on the screen Madden style, though. That'd be cool. Like, here's where we saw Samsung move into the left while Apple
Now, if you see DJ Ko, he takes a short stutter step when he says Note 7. Did you notice that, Scott?
Yeah, and then, oh, look, there's an Uber down there in the bottom half of the lane. We're in trouble. Yeah, the idea of doing that kind of commentary is always entertaining, but I'll take what we have today. It's fine.
Look, we try to have a good time while talking about the tech news of the day, help you understand the world around you a little better. We're going to talk about the Note 8 announcement, but let's start with a few tech things you should know. Oh, and by the way, our producer Roger Chang is here as well. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Samsung announced the Galaxy Note 8 available for pre-orders now in the UK, tomorrow, August 24th in the US. It's pretty much now for most people as they listen to this, arriving September 15th for around $900, depending on the carrier. We're going to have all the details on that later in the show.
A few days after the reportedly rumored Apple announcement in September.
That launches on September 15th?
Yeah, 12th, I think, is supposed to be that day. We'll see. French site Mac Forever says it has confirmed with telecom companies that Apple will hold a press event September 12th. There you go. I've just spilled the beans. That's fortuitous timing.
I thought it was a very clever transition that you did there. Well done. The U.S. Department of Justice says it did not realize the extent of visitor data maintained by DreamHost, when it obtained a warrant for 1.3 million IP addresses and all the communications related to a protest website. Who knew? Who knew websites kept all that info? Not us, says the DOJ. It has now narrowed its request.
Ah, I'm that whole thing's very curious to me. Finally, the San Francisco airport is installing electromagnetic glass.
No.
Nope. Electrochromic glass.
Yes.
Second time's a charm. From a company called View Inc. The glass that's incorporated, for those who think I mean ink. The glass adjusts its tint either in reaction to sunlight sensors or a programmed working schedule.
That's so pretty awesome. It'll keep things cooler by tinting itself as the sun gets brighter, I suppose. Or if you're like, hey, we need to tint this up to keep workers focused and stop looking out the window, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see that in action. So may have to make a trip to San Francisco just for that.
Here are some more top stories. Google Express is dropping its membership fee. You won't have to pay to get Google Express. It's also promising delivery in 1 to 3 days if a customer reaches a partner store's minimum order. Of course, it's different minimum orders at different stores. But Google Express also integrating with Walmart. So Google and Walmart, kind of two ends of an equation that can compete with Amazon. That means Google Express shoppers can use Walmart's easy reorder feature to buy things by voice on Google Assistant devices, including the Google Home. Walmart plans to add more features like this, including grocery shopping, to work with Google Assistant.
It feels like a good move for Google if they're trying to, I don't know, push Amazon to the back burner just a tiny little bit.
Well, I mean, Google wants to get into more of that business with Google Express, and Walmart has the expertise. Walmart also would like to have more media presence on devices, and they can partner up with Google for that. So it takes two to make Amazon in this case.
It does. But in this case, I think it's just a nice agnostic choice so that they can get the good tech and the back end they want. And they're working with a big company like Google, and it doesn't, you know, if they were to make a deal with Amazon, that would be super weird because Amazon's kind of, you know, enemy number one to every brick and mortar and, you know, web-based selling site in the world. So I think this is probably a smart move.
Yeah, I mean, Walmart wants to be Amazon. They just put their Vudu service on Apple TV. And you may think that's odd if you're used to using Vudu to buy things, because you can't buy things through the Apple TV. They don't want to give a cut to Apple. But they also, a lot of people don't realize, have a free streaming video service, which puts them not only in competition with Netflix, but also with Amazon. And one would expect that maybe you will see Vudu start to make some original programming, since that's the hot thing.
Well, let's see if that Vudu is the Vudu they do so well. Mm. The New York Times has sources who say Apple will begin testing autonomous vehicle technology with a shuttle on its corporate campus to be called Palo Alto Infinite Loop. Or Pale. Not sure I like that name. But anyway, the Times piece also claims Bob Mansfield scrapped plans for a full car when he took over the Project Titan.
Yeah, Pale doesn't seem like an Apple name, doesn't it? Well, you're going to ride the Pale over to the other campus today? Ride the Pale.
It is short and easy to say, though, and that's there's something to be said.
Did you take the shuttle? No, I live beyond the Pale. Okay, so this New York Times article is getting a lot of headlines as Apple has given up on making fully autonomous cars and instead is just doing this shuttle. And that's not what the New York Times article says. The New York Times article is a very well-written article that talks about how at first there were a lot of competing priorities. At first, Apple thought, well, maybe we'll actually build a car. And that at some point they decided that was too complex. And they brought in Bob Mansfield, as you said, who kind of tightened up the screws and said, let's work on an autonomous car platform that will run on other cars. Also, they are testing this with the shuttles. They still have those Lexuses registered with the state of California. And according to this New York Times article, they're still going to use those out on the streets. So they haven't given up on anything, it doesn't seem like.
Now, this reminds me of when everybody said that Google was giving up on glass. And they never did. They weren't. They maybe were restructuring or deciding what to do with it. But, you know, like anything, it's more exciting to think that there was a big goof and now they're
making
their efforts someplace
else.
But,
and they did at one time have the hubris, as Apple does, to think, hey, we could just build our own cars. And they decided against that. I find that to be a more expected line where you start big and then you adjust as you go on what you think you can achieve versus some kind of failure.
Right. Also, this article, if you're just glancing at it, it may sound like they're making like a tracked thing. Like it's a,
No, that's a good point.
And it's not, it's like a autonomous vehicle. It is a vehicle that will drive around campus, albeit in this very controlled place. But it's not like something's on rails like you'd see in, you know, Vegas, the rail or anything like that. And I think that's, I mean, that's pretty significant. That is an autonomous car that they can test in their own backyard and build from there. So I, for one, am all for the Pale outside of the dumb name.
And the Times piece implies that it will go between their campuses. They will have more than one. There's the spaceship campus, but there's also a couple satellite campuses. So it will be on public roads for part of its journeys, it looks like. The International Federation of Robotics reports that robot shipments jumped 27% in China to 90,000 last year. And it estimates that the number will jump in the country again to hit 160,000 by 2019. China makes up about a third of the global total of robot shipments, making it the leading country in new robot installations. So the robot arms and legs and rollers and treadmills race is on.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, I don't know how I should feel about a robot race in terms of who it benefits the most. I think the idea that we're increasing the sales and manufacturing of robotic equipment for other kinds of manufacturing or for whatever they may need be used for. And people at home are probably picturing, you know, actual robots, and they are, but you know, we're also talking about auto manufacturing and lots of other kinds of robotic equipment. The fact that China's dominating in that sector is interesting, but also I don't know that we are, I don't know if we as a country, if here in the USA, we care that much, not about robotics, but about leading in that area. Like maybe
well, we're okay. If robots end up being way more efficient, then we'll care and we'll want to catch up. What's a nicer word for the lazy, the lazy assumption? I feel like the internet tends to make the lazy assumption. Like, oh, the lazy assumption in both of these would be, their robots won't work, or here's another way to undercut paying people. And I don't think either of those really hit the nail on the head. I think what's happening is China is really allowing its companies to pursue efficiency in this particular area, and it's something that may give them an advantage. It's worth paying attention to.
It's also it's not new in electronics anyway. They've kind of been leading.
I mean, part of the assumption is that China just has this huge, deep wellspring of cheap workers, and they don't. In fact, the cost of labor in China is going up, and this is an attempt, as similar to in the U.S., to basically bring labor costs down by automating a lot of the production. And so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, like, a lot of the jobs that have been re-onshored in the U.S. are a lot more automated than when they shipped out like 10, 20 years ago. And so they require fewer workers, but they're more automated. So it'll be interesting to see. And I think part of the big argument is, like, you know, who's gonna reach total automation of production the quickest? Will it be Germany? Will it be, you know, the US? Will it be China? Because there's a lot of things that are coming into play, both demographics, but also the need to keep our desire to keep production in their respective countries.
And don't forget, the United States and Europe have been adding robotics to their factory lines and automating workplaces for a long time. China may be leading in this because they have more to catch up at, but there is that leapfrog effect where when you're behind and you jump to the front, you get the more advanced current versions of things, and it could end up making you a leader. So it's worth paying. Like I said, it's worth paying attention to.
Yeah, it's like internet going from copper to broadband. We were slow to do anything.
Or skipping over desktops to smartphones.
Sure, same deal. You have a little bit of a growth problem if you aren't in their position. So we'll see what they do. Hey, during Gamescom today in a whole different part of the world in Cologne, Germany, Blizzard showed off a new 6-minute Pixar-like animated short that brings all sorts of new life and, I think, potential characters to the Hearthstone universe. I'm very curious about these couple of goblins that are in it. Anyway, they said a series of animated stories and comics would soon follow. And for many, and that includes me, this sort of confirms what we think Blizzard's doing right now, which is trying to reach outside the core Hearthstone audience and aim for a more broader player base. In fact, you're already hearing from some of the hardcores saying, oh my gosh, they're trying to kiddify my hardcore game. And I think in Blizzard's position, they're like, no, we're trying to expand its appeal to people maybe outside of nerdy CCG players. Maybe we want to talk more to kids. Maybe we want to talk more to moms who've got a little extra time while they're waiting for the kids, or whatever the market is they're not currently tapped into. Hearthstone can be for a much broader base, and I think that's what they were doing today.
It is interesting that the Blizzard announcement at Gamescom got a lot of attention for Overwatch and Hearthstone, in large part because of its cinematics. Mm-hmm. In fact, Sam Sykes, the author on Twitter, said, just make movies already, won't you, Blizzard? He's not the first person to express that opinion, I know. And this Pixar-like animated short was really fun, and I play Hearthstone, and it got me excited to go play another game, but it did feel very Pixar-like. It felt very kid-oriented. On the other hand, Hearthstone ain't no hardcore game. I know there's hardcore esports around it, but it's still it's a card game. Yeah. And so there's nothing wrong with saying, let's appeal to the kid in all of us in this fun game.
Could not agree more. They're gonna be the naysayers who feel like something's being taken from them, but the truth of the matter is, it is kind of a game for everybody. It's a game for people who want to, I don't know, practice being smart, making cool tactical decisions. I don't think that should be limited to a bunch of fantasy nerds. So I'm totally into this. And it was the highlight of the com. Unfortunately, the rest of their presentation was a little empty. They didn't have much to say that wasn't already known for Heroes of the Storm, World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, and Overwatch. Everything that was new outside of these cinematics, we already knew about. From a few days ago or a week ago or more. And so really all we got was a couple of movies. That being said, these guys are masters at making animated shorts, and why they don't just go ahead and make a series, I don't know. But they did say about these characters they're introducing in Hearthstone, they plan a series of additional shorts and comics to sort of flesh out stories, let you know who those characters are, all of that kind of stuff. So those two goblins I'm interested in, I'm going to learn a lot more about. And it's just an interesting turn for the little game that could.
Was that Archmage Antonidas, the wizard guy? Was that who that was supposed to be?
I'm not 100% sure on that. Because a lot of the characters, the word on the ground is that they're not tied to actual characters.
It was just a wizardy guy.
Yeah. I'm like the two-headed ogre. He looked like Cho'Gall, but he's not.
But maybe not. All right.
Anyway, it is a delightful Disney-esque, awesome piece of work with original music and incredible references, and it's just really well done. So if you haven't seen it, let the little kid inside you come out and go watch it.
Israel's Flytrex has partnered with Iceland's AHA. AHA does on-demand delivery, and now AHA will do on-demand delivery by Hexacopter in Reykjavik. Flytrex worked with local regulators and developed the network that the delivery system runs on, so the back-end network, you know, the internet network. An AHA employee will have to load the delivery onto a DJI Matrice 600, and it will then fly across the Bay of the North Atlantic Ocean, where another delivery person will unload it and take it the rest of the way. So it's not yet to your home. However, this still saves the half hour or more drive that a normal delivery driver would have to make around the bay. The Hexacopter can carry up to 3 kilograms. That's good for a hamburger or a beer or some sushi. And it can go up to 10 kilometers. Only has to go a couple of kilometers across the bay. AHA plans to start with about 20 deliveries a day, and it hopes to expand to multiple routes and eventually include those home deliveries.
But do you think this is Reykjavik going, man, we sure could use more hand-delivered burgers, or is this an experiment?
I think this is AHA seeing a publicity opportunity. They're calling themselves the first drone delivery service. They're not. Rwanda beat them to it. Singapore has some. Amazon's done some in the UK. There's some in Australia. There's lots of delivery going on with drones. But I think they saw the opportunity to say, hey, we'll get a splash of publicity and we'll actually solve a problem, which is if we need to deliver across that bay, that's a long drive, and we could shorten our delivery time practically by doing this. I mean, even if it's not drone delivery to the door, the fact that it's going to go straight across the water is going to save them a bunch of time.
Yeah, this feels like we're on the verge of this becoming normal and everywhere. It's how it's starting to feel, because every once in a while we get a story on the show, and it's sometimes on a Wednesday, which makes me think it's happening even more than I think, and we are not that far from this is no longer a story, this is just normal. Especially for remote areas and more popular. Yeah. populated areas, and I am all for it. I love this idea of getting my stuff this way.
And I don't know if it's because of the feet dragging of the FAA with commercial drones. That has somewhat been addressed at this point. But if you look at these things, they're happening in Switzerland, in Rwanda, in Australia, as I mentioned earlier, right? They're not happening in the United States. So this is a worldwide phenomenon in the truest sense.
We are worried about flying things we don't control.
To get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, folks, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. You can get it as a podcast on the Amazon Echo or through the Anchor app at anchor.fm. And that, my friends, is a look at the headlines. Hey, Samsung announced the Galaxy Note 8. Did I mention that at the beginning of the show? I sure did. Here's some more details. It has a 6.3-inch AMOLED screen, 2960 by 1440 resolution, so HD+. Curved edges. They call it an infinity screen, but the bezels are still there at the top and the bottom. It's bezel-less on the side. Specs are as you would expect. Snapdragon 835 or Exynos 8895 internationally. IP68 water resistance still there, but they bumped up the RAM to 6 gigabytes. There's a 3,300 milliamp hour battery. That's a little smaller than the Galaxy S. But remember, batteries are a very sensitive thing, and they want to play it a little conservative. It's still a beefy battery. Has a dual rear wide-angle and telephoto camera, so that it has dual cameras like the iPhone. Ships with Android 7.1.1 Nougat and voice assistant Bixby, so it's the first non-Galaxy S to have Bixby, but it's not going to get Oreo quite yet. It'll come. App Pair is a feature that'll let you create a shortcut so you can launch two apps at once side-by-side just by clicking on the edge. Comes in midnight black, orchid gray, maple gold, and deep sea blue. Once again, those colors: black, gray, gold, and blue. Pre-orders begin August 24th, like I said, or they're on right now in the UK, and the Note 8 arrives on September 15th. Pricing varies by carrier. It's between $930 and $960, it looks like, here in the US. It's £869 in the UK.
From what you've learned from their from what they've released and what we've seen in this Ars Technica article and, of course, everything that's all around the place. Do you feel like, I feel like, after reading through most of these articles, they're all kind of not talking about the battery thing. And I know we've talked it to death and that batteries, you know, burned in the previous generation and it was a huge snafu and they're moving on past that. But I guess I thought some people would at least mention it. And
yeah.
Nobody talking about it.
The Verge and the Engadget both briefly mentioned the battery issues being in the past that they talked about. And Samsung hit it head on. They started the announcement by looking at the history of the Note and showing, you know, socially shared videos of people the first time they got a Note and doing some unboxings and the Note 3 and the Note 4. And I was like, wow, this is risky. You're going to go with the history of the Note. Are you sure you want to do this, Samsung? And they didn't flinch. They went right to the Note 7 and they very cleverly, in my opinion, showed fans being disappointed. Like, oh man, I'm going to have to give my Note 7 back. Oh, this is so bad. And then transitioned into, we're still with you, Samsung. Mistakes happen. You know, we can't wait for you to fix this. And it was, I thought it was pretty well done not to shy away from the fact that they screwed up, but at the same time making it sound like, but people are willing to give us the benefit of the doubt, and here we are with the new Note 8. And I think that is one of the reasons you're not seeing people dig into this, is Samsung took it on the chin themselves in this.
Yeah, no, I think I also agree with that's the right way to do it. You, I know this happens with every big flagship phone, but I always am just slightly bothered when it's not a Google branded phone that they're not starting with the latest with Oreo. They're going with Nougat. And
I think that's just an accident of timing. I mean, maybe Google and Samsung could have cooperated a little better here, but Android Oreo just got announced on Monday and started the rollout process. They're going to get it pretty quick, but they just couldn't promise it.
Yeah. Well, it's an immensely popular phone. I'm really excited for fans of this device. They're going to finally get the generation they deserve. Last generation, with some definite improvements anyway, aside from all, you know, the fact that it shouldn't burn. I'd be curious if organizations like the TSA or others are even a little fishy about a new Samsung phone. I don't know how that stuff works.
They Galaxy S's haven't had any problems. I doubt it.
Sure.
I doubt there'll be any issue with it. that you don't hear those announcements anymore. That was only last year. It hasn't even been a year yet since that happened.
Sure. Well, it looks like a good phone. I would like it. And we don't know how soon they get Nougat, but we just know it's coming.
Yeah, they'll get it. I'm curious if they'll get it by the 15th, even if that'll be available on the, you know, the day you open up your box. I don't think that's impossible. They're not saying anything about that. It does some cool other things. Takes notes with the S Pen as soon as you remove it. Pins notes to the screen. It can translate more text by hovering. That's something it could do last time. If there's a knock on the Note 8, it's that it's not a huge leap from what the Note 7 should have been. Other than, you know, that higher resolution screen and those curved edges, there's not a lot of compelling new things in here, but it's a decent phone. And it's bigger. It's 6.3 inches.
An app pair is a Samsung thing, so not tied to the OS in terms of, you know, it's not part of it necessarily. I'm very curious about that and trying to figure out in my head use cases for launching two apps. I assume it would be like, well, one's my tasks thing that I prefer over the built-in stuff, and the other is my calendar that I prefer over Google's or whatever. And being able to see those two things simultaneously or have them running at the same time more quickly than running them separately, I guess, seems cool. Really curious about that in action, though, and I'm sure you'll get feedback on that, but I'm really curious what people use app pair for.
Yeah. There's a couple other things that are happening as well here. The Note 8 buyers in the U.S. will get 60 days free Samsung Premium Care service. That's in partnership with a company called Hello Tech that will visit you if you have a problem. That's kind of cool. You get 60 days free of that. I think it's like $11.95 a month, so it's kind of pricey after the first 60 days. There's also a bunch of bundles. You can get a free Samsung Gear 360 camera in some cases, or a 128 gigabyte micro SD card and a wireless charging pad. And that's the other thing. Don't forget the Note 8 has wireless charging as well. Optical image stabilization in both those dual cameras and 10x digital zoom. And Samsung Mobile President DJ Ko told CNBC at the event that a Samsung smart speaker would be launching soon. And that's not particular to the Note, but that would likely have Bixby, the voice assistant, in it as well, which would be another product to have that.
Yep, another home voice assistant with another name.
Just what you wanted.
Try to get excited about. I mean, whatever. I don't want to poo-poo this out of the gate because... Just because there's more competition, I think that's really good. We're gonna really suss out some, you know, features, and people are gonna really either stand above the rest or whatever. It's not like, you know, Amazon can just rest on their laurels for a long time, and I like that. Just wondering what they're gonna bring to the table specifically. I hope it's a very open platform, very, you know, Internet of Things friendly, lots of protocol for third-party apps to run, that sort of stuff. If that's the case, who knows? Samsung could be the next big voice assistant in the market.
And by the way, Big Jim posting in our chat room right now, the Federal Trade Commission in the U.S. has approved the Amazon Whole Foods acquisition. Earlier today, Whole Foods Board approved that acquisition. That's not a surprise, but the FTC was conducting an investigation to gauge whether the merger would decrease competition. Seems like they found out it's fine. It's supposed to close in the second half of this year, but if things keep going like this, you might see Amazon owning Whole Foods a little earlier than people expected.
Sure, which, by the way, adds a whole new layer of functionality to their own Amazon Echo. So very much looking forward to that, although I don't like paying those prices. So what I hope comes from that purchase isn't just business as usual at Whole Foods. I think they're ripping everybody off all the time. I would rather they buy somebody cool like, what's his name?
What if they just lower the prices?
Okay, that too.
You're talking about Trader Joe's or something?
Yeah, Trader Joe's. Yeah. But is it possible they could see a lowering of prices as an antique?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Amazon loves to have razor thin margins, so they could come in and just subsidize Whole Foods, which would be a very crazy thing to happen to the grocery market.
I could be totally wrong, but I'll bet this is what they end up doing. I'll bet they have, maybe they already do, and this is going to be embarrassing because I'm saying it, but they should have some sort of Prime Rewards deal tied into people's Prime accounts that they already have. So when I go in there, instead of like my Smith's card that I use or my Harmon's one or whatever, they just see that I'm an Amazon Prime member and I some big discount on everything I buy. I think that would
As part of Amazon Prime. Yeah. That would be cruel. They leave Whole Foods prices as they are unless you're an Amazon Prime member. Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch.
One last thing going back to the Note that I wanted to mention. If you were a Note 7 owner, Samsung is giving a trade-in program for your current phone. Remember, they replaced the Note 7s with other Samsung phones and other phones, and you can now take your current phone that you replaced your Note 7 with and trade it in for a Note 8 up to $425 off. So you don't get a free Note 8, but you get a discount.
What if you're a person who hung on to the 7 and didn't do the recall? Can you turn yours in?
No, it's too late, dude. Yeah. You should you should responsibly dispose of that is what you should do, or at least the battery.
All right. I just know there's somebody. Somebody out there.
Oh, there's somebody, yeah. The majority of them got turned in, though.
They were like, you're not taking my phone out of my cold, dead hand.
Well, some people are like, I want a collector's item. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, good point.
Just keep that battery out of the Note 7 if that's what you're doing. Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and join in the fun at our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. We got some emails we're going to read before we get out of here. Scott, you want to read the first one?
Sure. Hi, Tom, says this email from Allie Smith, a.k.a. 40 Thieves. Not sure if this is consumer-friendly enough to make it to DTNS, but as a web developer, this is pretty exciting. Mozilla has been working on an experimental browser called Servo. Tom Servo, not really. That is designed to be much faster for the last couple of years. Let's see.
They've been working on the last couple of years, I guess.
Yeah. Right. They've even invented a new programming language they call Rust that it uses. I like that as well. The experiment seems to have paid off, and so now they have slowly been moving those parts into Firefox itself. One of these parts is called Stylo, which brings parallelism and multi-core support to CSS, the language that is used to style the web. They are claiming 2 to 4 times speed up over the Firefox currently. Here's an excellent article about it that gave us a link. Tom will put that in the show notes. It's aimed at web developers, so it has a bit of technical jargon, but I think it's pretty good at explaining the concepts. At the moment, it's only shipping in Firefox nightly, and you have to enable an experimental flag, but it should be rolling out over the next few months. To everyone, I'm excited to see that browsers hadn't stopped optimizing and improving browsers, and I think there's going to be another noticeable jump in web performance, much like when Chrome was released. Thanks, Allie.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I haven't touched Firefox in a while, and I wouldn't mind having a reason to. Give me an excuse.
Yeah, I use it from time to time, and it has historically been a CPU hog, but so is Chrome. So any browser that fixes that is going to be very welcome in my book. And anonymous person who knows about these things wrote in and said, Netflix negotiated with many ISPs, cable companies, etc., as the network responsible for 30%+ of your traffic, saying that this makes them worthy of putting a box in the network, usually at zero cost. We've talked about this on the show before. Netflix offered, hey, we'll put a box full of our content in your house so that you can save on bandwidth transfer costs, etc. Well, our anonymous writer says, if Disney et al. Make their own networks, you know, because they're buying BAMTech, they are going to force their way into doing the same, possibly even suing some networks that don't allow this. This isn't 100% fully formed thought, but this splitting of everyone into their own network could make all video on the internet worse, as networks would be a lot less likely to give everyone free power and co-location for a CDN box, as if everybody does it, it would cost a ton. Also, I can see some networks trying to bundle space for their CDN box along with a lower price for channel carriage on the cable company that runs that network, meaning we will charge Verizon Fios less to carry ESPN if they let us colo CDNs for Disney stuff in every city. This could get really hairy.
Yeah, if it's just Netflix, this is fine. It's an interesting idea, and it makes kind of some sense. But if everybody does this,
yeah,
Hulu and everybody with all their CBS All Access, whoever, this gets real weird, I think. I think Anon's right.
Good job, Anonymous. Thank you for that.
Anon.
I like that, though. We they used to call him Anonymous Cowards on Slashdot. We'll just call him Anon. Thank you, Ann, for writing in.
Non.
Anon. And thank you, Scott Nonson, for writing in as well and being on the show. What's going on these days?
Very nonsense. So I'm about to take a little anniversary trip and not be here for a while. But for those of you who like to watch people play video games on Twitch, and if you think I'd be interesting to watch in that context, then I have good news for you. Every day at 4:00, Monday through Thursday, most days, I am doing a stream called Frog Pants Plays, and you can find it over at frogpants.tv. That'll be happening, in fact, this afternoon in about an hour. So if you're still around and you want to just catch some nice casual visions of me playing Mad Max, the video game, well, I got good news for you, because that's where I'll be. So check that out. All other things can be found at frogpants.com and, of course, on Twitter at Scott Johnson. And thanks for having me on, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, folks, we could not do this show without your support. Big thanks to everybody who already supports us, gives a little value back for the value they get from the show at patreon.com/DTNS. Our goal is always every month to get at least one more patron than we had last month. We're four off the pace right now. So if five of you who aren't supporting the show could jump in and help us out right now, that would put us over the goal. And we have some very cool milestones coming in September. There's some cool new stuff in the works that you're going to want to know about. So if you haven't supported us already, get over there to patreon.com/DTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. Our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. And we'll be back tomorrow with Justin Robert Young. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
And scene.
Bean.
Good show. What should we call it?
Almost on the dot.
Almost. So dot adjacent.
Dot adjacent.
Wall-oogle or Goo-mart?
Goo-mart.
Wall-oogle?
Apple kicks the pail down the road. Mm. Pails, rails, and automobiles.
That's pretty good.
The note. This note should not self-destruct. DOJ. Beyond the Pale. Tom Lives Beyond the Pale. Robot Races On. Healthcore Cinematics. Oh, Hearthcore Healthcore.
I kind of like.
Is it to you in shorts?
I like the this note will not self-destruct because it's literally the language of a Mission Impossible episode or something. It's also a little mean and focuses a little too much on the seven. But
the note eight starts out with a bang. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's fine. It's fine.
Starts out just note a little.
The lack of Oreos in this galaxy. Hearthstone ain't no hardcore game. Air Burgers, the no Oreo. Prime Foods.
Thank you, Anon.
Anon.
I actually know someone named that. That's why it didn't seem weird.
We'll just call him Ann. Ann wrote, every time we get anonymous, we'll just say, Ann writes in with the following. Occam's Laser. L-A-Z-O-R, like lazy.
Nice.
Blizzard gives it to you in the shorts.
You'll have your nougat and like it.
You can have nougat.
How can you have any pudding? Don't eat your meat.
How can you have any multitasking if you don't get your Oreo? It's not multitasking.
Coming to the new The Wall remake. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Android The Wall.
What do you want to go to? Right now, the top is, by the way, here's Roger.
Great. That's what I want to do.
Yep.
Point out my horrible memory. But because you had it in the lineup, I remembered. That's why I remembered, because I saw it. I was like, oh, crap.
Yep.
I like Pails, Rails, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
Sounds like a John Candy, Steve Martin movie.
I'm assuming that's exactly what it's meant to sound like.
Yeah, that's the reference. Oh, I got more of this on my phone.
The magnetic putty?
Yeah, just while I'm talking here.
Is it like magnetic putty in your hands?
Kinda.
And that's the second time I made that joke, I know, but I just can't stop myself.
What's that word you said earlier? It's had a
poop emoji?
No. No, what the two materials adhering to each other.
Oh, covalent bond?
Yeah, there's a covalent bond problem. Oh, my name is Bond. Covalent.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to be covalent.
I expect you to adhere to a rubber case.
I expect you to dye this shirt with your putty.
That is really weird. I feel like there's some science here, but I don't care.
Could be ionic.
Well, there is science there. It might just be sticky.
It might just be boring science.
Weird science.
All this eclipse talk.
All right. I want to admit something. I have admitted this to Dr. Kiki. This is no secret. I am jealous of this week in science theme song. Now, I love our theme song. Don't get me wrong. It's a great theme song. I know not everybody loves, but I love it. I got no quibble with our theme song, but I am jealous of words. Because the words in this week in science, yeah, the lyrics are pretty great. So I aim to do something about it.
Oh, hey.
I'm just saying emails with Andrew Allen may have been exchanged.
He's a good one to contact.
I don't know if they'll have lyrics though. I may still need to go after the lyricist. So if you out there are a lyricist, be thinking.
I'm trying to think if I know anyone.
What you should do is kind of deadmau5 it. So it's you sample out your saying Daily Tech News Show or whatever you want the main lyrics to be.
And you know just who that, like who does that? Eric Van Skyhawk does that.
Yeah.
He did that
for like
one of my TMSs like this one. I mean, it's not my voice, but, you know, it's got kind of a EDM quality to it.
That's what you need.
Lazy assumptions kill, fun busted every day.
God, no, bad. If you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, you should do it like death metal. So you need to do your Beth Cookie Monster scream into the mic, sample that.
I think that's why I need a jazzier version to be able to come up with lyrics for.
Yeah, unless you scream it like death metal style.
Yeah, because what I did there is not acceptable just now.
Just do. My Tom Aird and I've got all the Daily Tech News.
Yeah, that's not what we're looking for.
No, but see, that would be great because it contrasts so much with the show. People are expecting like Headbangers Ball, and really, what they're going to get is
something that makes your skin crawl,
keep you up at night.
Something that makes you cringe and say, is that
I'm just giving you some suggestions. I mean, I'm not telling you to go guar or anything like that. But.
Yes. Listen, lyrics are cool. Singing is cool if you're good at singing. And I am not holding myself as an example of that.
What if you get like a high school a cappella group?
Maybe. Depends on the high school.
Yeah, go down. Hey, Tom, go down to the high school and just hang around. No one will think anything's weird.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Just talk to all the girls.
I'll just explain that I'm just looking for lyricists.
That's where, no, like, I kid you not, like, back in high school, our choir, our choral group, as well as our orchestra were hired out for events, for, like, weddings or...
Is that the style we want, though, Roger? Is that...
Is that the one?
Is that what we're after?
You would be the client, so you would say...
No, we're the client. You and I are the client.
No, that's what I'm saying. You are the client. You would determine, like...
Do we want a cappella? Is that...
Wow, you're really against a cappella. I'm sorry.
I'm just asking you a question. I didn't say whether I was against... Maybe.
If it's really good, why not? Why not a barbershop quartet?
All right. I have answers to why not a barbershop
quartet. Oh, yeah? Why?
They're terrible and never do it.
Oh, I like barbershop quartets.
You don't like
quartets.
Barbershop quartets?
I liked them in the context of, hey, we're in a barbershop and these guys are singing. Isn't that funny? I don't think it's good for, like, just life.
Daily Tech News.
Oh, that's a terrible
See?
Idea.
See? It writes itself.
That's awful.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get something better for y'all to work with before we start pursuing those.
You know what? You can put a little soul into it and get kind of like a Jefferson's theme going on.
I don't want this to turn into American Idol.
It's the first time I've ever heard you say that.
I don't want to have to make fun of people. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not really your gig.
Wait, no. Who are you making fun of?
Well, I'm thinking of people submitting bad music. That's all.
Oh. Well, you would make fun of them in private, so that's.
You would make fun of them in private.
No, I would make fun of them in public too.
No, I know we have some real legit musicians out there. And I will give you more to go on once I have more to go on. But I just wanted to
Strike it Rich in the chat room said maybe the new Heart theme available.
Oh, Christy Cates. Yeah, we've been wanting to collaborate. Well, actually, Andrew Allen wants to collaborate too. So, yeah, we got lots of options.
If you need guitars, Bo Schwartz does killer stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Nice. He does a theme on Core, and it is epic. Really, really good. He makes a version for every character in the game, so we can play a different one every week.
All right, we got options. Well, and again, I really like the DTNS theme song that we have. So, you know. Martin Bell made the opening theme song. And maybe Martin Bell's got some lyric ideas. Martin, are you listening?
Martin, are you out there, buddy?
Martin. I haven't heard.
Put
from
some
you
words into the song that we already have. Maybe like a Huey Lewis.
Love Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
You do?
Yep. I do. I love Huey Lewis in the News. I think the sports album is one of the best albums ever. And not ironically, I think it's great. I love it. It's fun. I love when it comes on.
I am happy with the Daily News.
That's a weird one to pick. I would have gone with like gotta get back in time, gotta get tech news, gotta get tech let's see. No, that doesn't work either.
Gotta tech in time.
I need some new news.
I'm taking what we're teching because I'm working for the tech news.
It's hip to be Tom.
Sometimes bad is bad.
I love them.
Yeah. All right. Well, dear friends, we have come to the end of once again another broadcast day in the DTNS land. Thank you for joining us. We'll begin our broadcast day tomorrow at 6 a.m. from studios located at 318 West Main Avenue in Greenville, Illinois. Our studio to effective link call sign is WLD716. Join us again tomorrow for the very best in radio entertainment.
You must have.